City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
I'm telling you, there was Santa and Mrs. Claus. They're already there. They're already out at the mall working the little kids. I could not believe it. Ah! Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. So the guns in church, we'll see what happens there. But how was watch any NFL games over the weekend? So, no, you're not alone. The audience is still down, and it's down from last year, and it's last year was a down year, and they blamed it on the Trump-Hillary presidential contest, and now everybody was focused on that instead. But I don't know. This is starting to get to the point where things are getting a little further out of hand. Week 10, thousands of empty seats are plaguing the stadiums. Now, I cannot recall when an NFL game had empty seats. I mean, none. Now, you see that with Major League Baseball. You'll see that the season ticket holders are not in their seats and all that, where the prime seats down by behind the home plate. But with football, the stadiums are always jammed from all the way to the rafters, the nosebleed seats and everything else. But when I saw that, and I get there was empty seats at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. Somebody took a photo of the second half kickoff at Levi Stadium. That was the 1-7 meets the 0-9. It was San Francisco versus the New York Giants, and both just terrible teams. So I get the fact that it was empty, half empty. But explain to me, if you would, Soldier Field. Why was Soldier Field, when the Chicago Bears were playing the Green Bay Packers? I mean, you talk about a rivalry. Green Bay and Chicago, and there were over, it says, many good seats available first quarter. And they said while, I mean, it was, you could see the there were a lot of empty seats in Soldier Field. Thousands of empty seats. So I don't know what happened. Green Bay lost, or the Bears lost to the Green Bay Packers, it says. I didn't see the game. 23-16, so it was a good game. Fairly close. I don't understand it. A lot of empty seats in Nashville for the Tennessee Titans. Beat the Bengals 24-20, another very close game. So it used to be that you had to know somebody in order to get a seat at an NFL game, especially with a good rivalry. But apparently that's not the deal anymore. I know they took a photo. I saw a photo of L.A. Coliseum. But that's even, Los Angeles doesn't care. They just don't care. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, all right, how are we doing on the protest thing? Well, apparently it's getting better in the regard that there are fewer NFL players taking a knee. And three NFL players took a knee as the national anthem played, as the Giants were going up against San Francisco Sunday. This is at Levi Stadium over Veterans Day weekend. And there were two guys from San Francisco and one guy from New York. No NFL players during the early games on Sunday, according to the New York Daily News. So is it going to go away under its own boredom that people are just going, I'm sorry, that's nice that you're taking a knee, or it's not nice, or, but I don't, you're not getting my attention, and you're not getting my dollars, and I'm not tuning in, and I'm not buying tickets to go to the stadium. There was supposed to be a big protest because of the fact it was Veterans Day weekend, and a lot of people were supposed to not go to attend a game. I don't know if that was you or not, or whether you went to a game and you saw lots of empty seats. But this is getting broader attention. I know before you start yelling at the radio, Bob Costas, I know, that's all I got to say. I like Bob Costas. I don't like his bringing, but he's done what I don't like. He's a good sports announcer, but he's brought in politics. He's made all kinds of political editorial opinions, which I think have no place in a sports broadcast. But he's now going out there and saying, look it. He thinks that the future of the NFL is bleak. Bleak. Bob Costas. And the game, quote, destroys people's brains. So, yeah, this is the network that hosts Sunday Night Football. So NBC, they're all in a dither about Bob Costas. But he's been there a long time, and he's they're not going to throw him out. But he said at the University of Maryland on Tuesday that the one-time cash machine sport was suffering from multiple investigations into former players who have experienced serious health problems. So he's concerned about that. But he's also talking about the fact that they are, this whole business about taking knees and so forth, that the NFL is bleak, but primarily because of the fact that it destroys people's brains. That was his point. So they've got more than one issue going, and he jumped on this. Now, my problem with Bob Costas doing that is I can't find, I've looked, but I can't find exactly what medical school he graduated from. So he is making medical conclusions of players because of that. So he's throwing the NFL, saying that the future of it's bleak because of that. It may be. So this, if that's true, it doesn't help when they're doing the knee thing as well. So apparently this is now caught the attention of NBC, and NBC is basically warning their other talent to stop saying bad things, stop ranting about football. They pay your salary. They pay NBC a lot of money. So stop it. Now, they've told their talent, do not put down the NFL. So you won't hear anything bad on NBC about any of that. But Roger Goodell, big story that's out, which I've got another side to this story, is that Roger Goodell's contract is coming to an end. And he's looking for a 5-year extension. And he's got a $30 million a year salary right now. And the story is that he's asking for $50 million and a private jet for life. But guy at Town Hall reports that Roger Goodell has a few demands to make before he agrees to continue to be the head, the commissioner of the NFL. Remember, he works for the owners. This is Mark Gannis, who is a consultant to the NFL. So he's on the NFL side. He's an insider at the NFL. He was on Fox Business this morning saying that Goodell is the best guy to ever run the NFL.
It's not a matter of just what you've done in the past. It's what the past will indicate you will do for the future. We are in this period right now with the anthem, which, by the way, is starting to die down. Only 3 players protested the anthem in the games on Sunday. So it is starting to die down. It takes a little while for 2,000 players to understand what they're doing and why they have a responsibility that can be handled in other ways, and their agendas can be addressed in other ways. It doesn't happen overnight. Now, the next phase of this is this continual education, this continual outreach to the fans. There really is no one in a better position to oversee the entirety of the NFL than Roger Goodell, and the people who know that best are the people who actually pay the salary, the 32 team owners.
Oh, please. You're such an apologist, and he's an insider in the NFL, and he obviously is licking Roger Goodell's boots there. Goodell blew it by going, well, we don't want to harm the players, but we don't want to harm the fans, and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. But this Mark Gannis, who works for the NFL, says that this $50 million story is fake news.
He didn't ask for that contract. That was not what the term of art these days, fake news. One person puts out a story because they have an agenda. That's what happened here. To quote one of the members of the committee, that story is garbage. The reality is where Roger's contract would be is roughly the same amount of money that he is making now. And with that being many specific performance clauses that would be voted on by many of the owners as each year comes up. So there is no big increase. There is no jet for life. There is no $50 million that has been requested. A little bit of fake news, my friend.
No, it's not fake news. You are doing a fake story. It's $30 million. Plus, did you hear him say, oh, and some performance clauses in there? And that will be voted. Some performance clauses. Yeah, and the performance clauses and all the other stuff you add together gives him probably estimated $50 million, plus the use of a jet. So, I don't begrudge the guy. If he can get it, good for him. It's a private club. The owners are the ones who pay him. Why do I care? I think Goodell is not very good at what he does, but that's just me. He's too PC. He's always been PC. He makes one bad decision after another. The Ray Rice decision, and oh, then we didn't do that right, so then we had to do it tougher, and then the courts overthrew the Goodell, and he's a mess. He's an absolute mess as a foreign executive. All right, so now a tie-in for you. Beer sales. Beer sales are slumping. Now, who is the big advertiser on NFL games? That would be beer companies. I wonder if there's a tie-in. Do you think it's related? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. You can't believe what Budweiser's ex-marketing chief sees as the next big deal. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
All right, so the question, which I want to also address, is beer sales, especially at Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, right? Their sales are suffering. Why? What is it about Anheuser-Busch? Why are their sales suffering? They are apparently... people are shifting away from Budweiser toward craft beers, Mexican imports, wine, and hard liquor. So Anheuser-Busch sales are going down, and I'm wondering if it's because of the fact that they also are one of the big advertisers on the NFL, and people aren't seeing their ads. Advertising works. If people aren't watching the game, they're not seeing your ad. They're not going to buy as much beer. Phone number is 855-295-6600. James, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, James.
Hey, Tom. How are you today?
Doing great. What do you think's going on here?
actually, what I think is going on is, a lot of things that I'm hearing you mention, one about concussion protocol, that's actually a fact. And one of the reasons why is because the NFL doesn't want to pay these ex-players money because there's already been a lawsuit set against them, and I think there might be one that's still maybe pending. But parents today are not letting their kids play football and they're letting they're pushing the kids to other sports like baseball or soccer because of the concussion protocol. But
right.
That's a fact. But you know, one thing I heard you mention also was about, you know, the attendance at NFL games going down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, it's not just because of protests. You know, that's it's been going down steadily for the past few years. One of the reasons why is the NFL's greedy and has been an oversaturation of NFL. You know, Thursday night, they have Thursday night football.
Right.
You know, Sunday football, Monday night football, Sunday night football, and not all the games are great. And, you know, people are just, you know, it's just no, too much of anything is not good. So that's one of the reasons. And plus, there's been a lot of rule changes that have turned a lot of fans off, such as myself. I don't watch football as much as I used to, and it's been this way for, I'll say, at least.
You're right. The rule changes have been going on for a number of years, but a lot of people are complaining. Real fans are complaining. It sounds like you're one of them that, you know, you can't hit somebody too hard. Well, that was part of the contest, wasn't it? Was watching the big tackles and big hits and all that sort of stuff.
Right, but see, that all stems, then, you know, that's true, but the thing is that come with big hits come concussions. So there's a lot of money that the NFL wants to harbor for themselves, and ex-players, you know, there's a lot of ex-players that were superstars that can barely get off the bed, but that's one of the main reasons. Now, I heard you mention about San Francisco and how their attendance is down. Their attendance is down because they moved out of San Francisco to Santa Clara.
Right.
I know a lot of diehard 49er fans that don't want to go to Santa Clara because they are San Francisco fans. And when the 49ers moved to Santa Clara, which is like 40 miles away.
For people who don't know the geography, for people who don't know California, it's basically on the suburbs of San Jose. It's not even in San Francisco. I mean, it should be the San Jose 49ers. Is what it should be.
It's in Santa Clara. It's right next door to Great America.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons. And also, there's been a lot of teams that don't sell out because the NFL just in the past couple of years started. They just stopped the rule, which they had the blackout rule, was if a team didn't sell out, their local team wouldn't be on television.
Right.
So they just stopped doing that. So that's one of the reasons why attendance has always been down. You know,
so I don't have a ticket, but I'm not going to go buy one because I can watch it on TV anyway. That's what you're saying. Right?
Right. A lot of that is, you know, that's what's happening. And as far as beer sales, I mean, if you go to the game, you know, who wants to pay $10 for a beer? And plus, Budweiser is an awful beer anyway. So, you know, a lot of people want to go into craft beers, you know.
Yeah,
wine, beer, you know, other ales, things like that. So, you know, this the protest thing. One thing: if you don't want to watch football, don't watch it. You know, because like me myself, I don't watch it. I don't watch it for it. A lot of the reasons people say they don't watch it, but you know,
I think the reason. Yeah, no, I got to take the bottom of the hour break, but I think you, I think you've got a pretty good list going there. There's a lot of reasons why the NFL has problems, and beer didn't surprise me. You said you don't like Budweiser. I think it's not so much they haven't changed anything. It's just that all these other beverages are out there competing with them. James, I got to run, but thank you.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Yep, I sure do. Welcome to the program. Talking about the NFL. How did you check out a game or so over the weekend? And then this morning, GQ has named its Men of the Year. The magazine released the cover featuring the four new American heroes. That's what they're called. And one of them is Stephen Colbert. Another one is NBA star Kevin Durant. Another one is actress Gal Gadot. And the fourth one, each one is on separate covers, is Colin Kaepernick. Yes, Colin Kaepernick says, "I'm honored to be recognized by GQ magazine as Citizen of the Year. So I know the Men of the Year is the name of it, but Gal Gadot got on there anyway. So Colin Kaepernick, GQ said that he will not be silenced. He's still unsigned. He's a free agent quarterback. He said he's been, though the editors wrote, he's been vilified by millions, locked out of the NFL, all because he took a knee to protest police brutality. No, it was when the time he picked was during the national anthem, and it exploded. It just did. So the NFL is seeing thousands of empty seats in their stadiums, and beer sales are down, and I think the things are connected. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Will, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Good to talk to you, Tom. I guess the point I wanted to make was, even though the NFL ratings are down, they're still beating mostly every other time slot during the same time the games are on anyway. And then I agree with the last caller with the beer. I mean, if you're a real beer drinker, it doesn't take you to watch football or even see a commercial. You're going to drink beer multiple times a week. So I don't think it really played a major role. Maybe in a minor way, the ratings did take a dip because of the protests. However, the NFL's definitely not finished. It's not all over because without football, you know, what else do we really have nowadays? Baseball is no longer America's sport. Football is. So that was my only opinion.
Well, football, you might not say is anymore. That's the problem. Their numbers are declining. If the stadium attendance is declining and the television audience is declining, and it's been going on now for a couple of years, is that clunk? We lost him. Yeah, what kind of phone was that anyway? Anyway, it's going the wrong direction. And besides that, so they beat somebody else. Yeah, they beat ice dancing. You know what else is on? Have you checked the TV schedule to see what the competition is on Sunday afternoon? It's not a lot of competition, so it's not like they're putting them up against big shows. But back to beer. So Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, if you will, back in, when did they sell? It's been a few years now that they sold to InBev out of Belgium. And so what did they do? They have reshuffled the leadership of their North American business. In other words, Budweiser. And they have decided to bring in a veteran from Brazil who will be in charge of the Budweiser brand here in the U.S. I don't know if a guy from Brazil is going to be able to, you know, if he's a sharp business person, who knows? But he's going to have to learn about the culture of beer in America and America beer drinking and all the other sort of stuff. So the guy who's been running Budweiser since it was sold to InBev, he's 50 years old, Castro Neves, and he says after 22 years at the company, he's leaving to pursue other opportunities. In other words, he got fired. But Anheuser-Busch sales in the U.S., are falling, and they're trying to figure out, is it craft beer? Is it Mexican imports? Is it wine? Is it spirits? That's where apparently the movement has been. They used to have 50% of the beer market in the U.S. They're now down to 44%. So they're still a big player, but they're, like everything else, it's shrinking. It's going the wrong direction. And I don't know about replacing this guy who's got 22 years experience. I don't know if it's his fault. But this is beer sales in America. Bud Light and Budweiser, since 2008, have been going lower and lower and lower and lower. So I don't know. Some people are blaming him for frequent changes in their Bud Light marketing campaigns, high turnover in their brand leadership, and a lack of understanding of U.S. culture, which among those that are in charge of reviving this iconic American beer. They don't know. They don't know what to do. We had, what was his name? Coke? What was his first name? John? Jim? James. Jim. That started the Boston Beer Company. Sam Adams. And I mean to tell you, that guy is a one sharp business executive who knows what he's doing. Got into the craft beer business. Sam Adams is basically a giant craft beer. He brought in all kinds of beer. It was about a year ago we had him here in the studio. And he was a hoot. But he brought in some beers, and I'm not much of a beer drinker, but he brought in some beers that were just delicious. So maybe that's all it is. Maybe it has nothing to do with football, but I saw the story about that. And then there's one other part to this story I've got to tell you. Because the former chief marketing officer for Anheuser-Busch said, this Buds for You has taken on a whole new meaning. He thinks that the new craft beer is not beer at all. It's marijuana. Yes. And he has left Anheuser-Busch. He has joined the advisory board of Green Rush Group. It's a San Francisco-based startup that says it aims to be the Amazon of weed. They just finished a $3.5 million fundraising round last week. And this guy has a master's degree in economics. And so we'll see. But he says, no, what one more competitor out there for beer drinkers is instead of having a beer, if you've got them, light them. Legalized marijuana has been on the increase more than fivefold since 1969. And so he says, this Bud's for You, literally, he's talking about a bud. Pot bud. Pot plant. 855-295-6600. Russ, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Good. Hey, just wanted to, I was going to weigh in on the Budweiser thing. I've been a Budweiser drinker for nearly 40 years. And I, when this all started, I kind of went to the NFL's list of sponsors, and they were number one on the list. And I shot them an email and said, if they don't change their stance on supporting the NFL because of all this stuff, I'm going to quit buying their beer. And surprisingly, they emailed me back, and they did tell me that, you know, they understand that. However, you know, they support veterans. They rattled off how many veterans they hire and everything else. But I'm done with them. I mean, you know, I can't support a company that supports these guys in their stance, and they turn a blind eye to it and a blind eye to the customers.
Russ, you're the guy I was thinking. There's got to be you times some number. You represent many, many other people out there, and I think you're not alone. I think there are people that this has damaged their brand. So, I got to take the break here, hard break, but you're not alone. I guarantee it. We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan on air, online, on demand.
Yep, there it is. GQ announced, and there he is on the cover. I'm looking at it. Citizen of the Year, Colin Kaepernick. Citizen of the Year. That's what they gave him. So congratulations, Mr. Kaepernick. Oh, there's our friend Pat in Virginia. Hello, Pat. How are you? Where you been?
Tom, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. What you got today?
I've been listening, but yeah, I just I've been a little depressed.
Uh-oh.
Now, I've been depressed by what I'm hearing, and it's hard to depress me, Tom.
I know you're an upbeat guy. What's depressing you? What's depressing you today?
Well, it's all these rabbit holes that you guys are running down. You know, sometimes I say, I can't take it anymore. It's all of this stuff starts at the top, and you know that. Now it's down to we're trying to tear apart Budweiser. We're trying to tear apart the NFL. Trust me when I tell you this. As soon as the NFL season ends, it's going to be basketball in a big way. Donald Trump is going to go after basketball, and he's going to sick you guys down that rabbit hole, and you all will stay on it. And you've been looking for comfort.
But Donald Trump did not take the knee. That's the problem, is that Colin Kaepernick did something that he felt it was important, and that's fine. And I disagree with the where and how, but I admire the fact that the man is willing to throw a very valuable career away over his belief. So you got to give him credit for that. But listen. Donald Trump jumped on this as a culture war thing. I grant you, but he did not start this fight. Not at all.
Let me ask you a question. So you back and you defend him so vehemently that you don't listen very well anymore, Tom. I've heard that argument. I know what you're thinking is. I listen to it every day. What you don't hear is what you just said. Kaepernick at least put something on the line.
Yes.
What has Donald Trump ever put on a damn line? Nothing. But empty rhetoric. Now, here's the point. I told you this before. When he brought this issue up against the NFL, he called the African-Americans in the NFL a bunch of SOBs. And you know that.
Right.
And that's what instigated him. At that time, Kaepernick was already out of the league. Nobody was
yes.
taking a knee.
And I will finish your
Nobody
thought with the fact that ramped it up to where it was bigger than ever because Trump got involved. Yes.
It didn't ramp it up. It was a non-issue. It wasn't ramping up nothing. Kaepernick had already been fired.
Yeah, but there were still people that were still doing that. I have a question about this weekend. Why is it that the guy who is the inside NFL guy said, well, it's only down to three? Is it going away? Is it kind of worn out its thrill or whatever?
It was worn out last year. It was worn. This has been a non-issue except for Donald Trump, and it would not have been a massive knee protest against. It was against Trump. It had nothing to do with the flag. People took a knee and said they don't want the President of the United States to call them some of the bitches.
I don't blame them.
You can't understand that.
No, I
you can't understand that. We have
I
no
know.
Reasons for conversation.
I saw when he did that, I thought, oh boy, this is just going to put a light of fire under this whole thing. And it did. And then a whole bunch of players had pride, and they said, well, we're not going to let him call us SOB, so we're going to do it too.
Including the owners said, we're not going to treat our players the way the president is directing us to treat the players.
Well,
the owners at least have, but you know, the conservative media guys, man. You guys ignore the facts, and just wherever Donald Trump leads you follow. I'll give him credit for that. Case that too late.
He can create headlines, but Jerry Jones is a lot of these guys are big Trump supporters, but Jerry Jones was not going to put up with any more of this. A bunch of other owners were privately saying we're not going to put up with it, and I think that's why these players have been talked to and said the owner is not going to keep you on the payroll if you keep doing this.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Prior to Donald Trump making that statement, had there ever in the history of the Dallas Cowboys been one player who took a knee? And the answer is no.
Not before this, no. Right.
It had never happened. So why does Jerry Jones all of a sudden have to make a statement about y'all better not do it? They weren't going to do it. They never had.
Well, Jerry Jones is a smart businessman. And Jerry Jones is watching what's going on with empty seats in stadiums and ratings going downhill. And he says, we got problems here, so we got to knock this off and get back to just football. Get politics out of your Sunday sporting events.
Well, all he needs to do is say that to his buddy in the White House. Tell him to shut the hell up.
He might have. He might have because, Trump stirred it up, no question. But he didn't start the fight. That's all. That's all I'm saying. We'll disagree
until he showed up. Nobody
we'll disagree.
Was
all right.
A damn meme.
All right. Let me get you off Donald Trump for a second. Why are beer sales going down? Or at least Budweiser.
No, I mean, how do you know beer sales are going down?
Anheuser-Busch's sales are down dramatically.
I'm talking about the whole market. And you just told me that Anheuser-Busch, their share had slipped 6 points.
Yes.
that means that somebody else is getting that business.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with Deerfield.
Well, maybe craft beers, Mexican imports, wine and spirit. And the question is, maybe it's just America's taste buds are changing and they're going, I want to try something new. A new generation's come along and they don't want to drink dad's beer.
Tom, I'll guarantee you that because I got a son now who's almost 40 years old. He doesn't drink what I drink. He's a Sam Adams guy.
There you go. That Sam Adams is good. I'm telling you, Pat.
I hate this stuff.
You
I'm a light beer guy. I'm a Mick Light guy. You know, but I'm just going to tell you this, man. Here's the deal. Keep
real
in mind one thing.
Yeah.
We got a very divisive president. He's trying to rupture every culture we have in this society. And don't be a participant, Tom.
I'm not. I'm not. I get yelled at by both sides, so I think I'm doing something halfway right. But Pat, I gotta get out of here. We're out of time, but I always appreciate your calls. You know that. Full comment line band today because the market up a little, up 17. The Dow at 23,439. S&P up 2. NASDAQ up 6. Oil at 56. Gold will cost you $1,278. The comment line, this caller has an observation about the state of Hollywood.
Is it just me or is the pervert per capita rate in politics in Hollywood higher than the general population?
I think you're on to something. I think the ratio of perverts in politics in Hollywood hopefully is higher than your neighborhood. This caller says the Bible's teachings are fine with guns in church.
In the Bible, it states that God had at his side Archangel Gabriel and Michael with flaming swords. What's wrong with that in church, if not a gun? Yeah.
There you go. Bring your flaming swords to the church. I love it. All right. We're going to bail out of this for Monday, and we'll try and be back tomorrow. Hope you are, too. We'll see you then.